You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Well, welcome in. Time to talk Cardinals baseball. I'm Dave Ramond with Jen Langosch, Cardinals.com. And Jen, it's 2016. Happy New Year. Can the Cardinals, can they do it again? Can they make it four consecutive division titles?
Well, I think it's hard to count out this team until they, you know, show otherwise. You know, certainly the story of the season has been the Cubs and all that they've done to build a contending, probably perennial contender up there in Chicago. And, you know, it's funny because through that, it seems like the Cardinals have kind of maybe played second fiddle to what the Cubs are doing. But it's certainly not lost here, and it's not lost in Chicago that the Cardinals are the three-time defending Central champs. And they're very bullish about the team they're going to put out on the field as well. So when you're looking at a team coming off an 100-win season with the number of key players they were missing throughout that year, along with some of the additions that they've made this winter that they think will make them better, I think it's going to be a great division to follow, and certainly at this point wouldn't count out the Cardinals potentially making it a fourth straight division crown.
You know, bullish on this team and excited about what they're going to put out on the field. There have to be people who have concerns, right? Hayward now with the Cubs, Lackey and Lynn no longer in the rotation. That's 40% of the workload. Now, they signed Mike Leake. We didn't get a chance to hit on that, but they signed Mike Leake right before Christmas. That, to me, seems like a pretty big signing.
Yeah, I think it's a really big deal. You know, it was interesting to see kind of the evolution of this offseason. Certainly when the Cardinals were knocked out of the playoffs in October, the thought was, okay, the priority is Hayward, the priority is offense. This is a team the last 2 years that's been really good at run prevention, you know, the pitching and defense side, but not so good at run creation on the offensive end. That changed in November when it was determined that Lance Lynn was going to need Tommy John surgery, that he will not be available in 2016. And all of a sudden, you see Lackey's departure coupled with Lynn's absence. And as you mentioned, that's a 40% innings void that need to be filled. Now, certainly getting Adam Wainwright healthy for a full season, that's 200 innings that you could count on. But when you have some injury question marks, Jaime Garcia, you know, has had a very spotty history when it comes to health. Carlos Martinez's season ended in September because of a shoulder issue. Michael Wacha has had his own shoulder problems in the past. The thought was this team needed kind of another innings eater, somebody that could be relied upon to provide and kind of backfill those innings lost with Lackey and Lynn being gone. And I think Mike Leake is a very ideal fit in that way. The Cardinals, you know, a lot was made about their pursuit of David Price, and certainly he would have added, you know, a great presence to the top of this rotation. But the truth is they didn't need to go out and get another ace. They do have an ace in Adam Wainwright. They needed the innings filled. And Mike Leake, when you look at making him maybe a number three or four starter on this team, he's going to give you 180 to 200 innings. He's going to make his 30 to 32 starts, provides, you know, even a little bit more on the offensive end with what he can do with the bat. I think it's a really good fit. Certainly there was a commitment there, the five-year commitment, something the Cardinals don't historically do with starting pitchers on the free agent market, but it really spoke to kind of their need to get somebody else in there to really supplement what they had.
What about when we think about what's left to do for this team? You know, there's still time, and we've seen over the years plenty of pretty decent-sized moves made between January and the beginning of spring training, but what is highest priority for this team?
Yeah, they're still keeping their pulse on the bullpen market. You know, they feel good about their back end of the bullpen options. Obviously, closer Trevor Rosenthal returning, Kevin Seager, Jordan Walden coming back from injury, Seth Maness, and they did sign Jonathan Broxton or re-sign Broxton in December. But they're still kind of keeping an eye on what other options might be available there to supplement what they already have. And then on the offensive end, you know, General Manager John Mozeliak, one of his favorite terms is just remaining opportunistic. And I think that's really where the organization stands right now. They're very confident in what Stephen Piscotty and Randall Grichuk can do if given every day at bats. And right now it kind of projects that Piscotty is going to be the opening day right fielder. Grichuk will be your opening day center fielder in St. Louis. That being said, we haven't seen a ton of movement on the outfield market thus far, aside from Hayward. You think about Gordon and Upton and Cespedes and Fowler still being out there. So I would expect the Cardinals to kind of just remain on the periphery for now, but certainly as maybe some of those other pieces start falling, if asking prices come down, it's not out of the question that the Cardinals may jump in. That being said, they don't really feel like it's necessary to make a long-term, very financially robust commitment at this point. Again, they think that they might have those sort of players in Grichuk and Piscotty already. But being opportunistic is a place that they like to be. So I could foresee the next 6 weeks being very quiet and the Cardinals kind of going with what they have. I could also see them maybe surprising a bunch of people again if the asking prices reduce and things become a little more clear on the market and perhaps adding that bat that they haven't done this winter.
Well, look, they don't have a whole lot of time. We're like within 2 weeks of the winter warm-up, right? I mean, you got the baseball dinner on the 17th. You got the – if they're going to bring this big guy, let's get it done so we can have him there at the winter warm-up.
Yeah, it is always fun to introduce your new players at winter warm-up. You know, last year I remember we showed up at winter warm-up and the talk was with if the Cardinals were going to sign Max Scherzer, and what an awesome weekend this would be to bring Max Scherzer, the St. Louis kid, home. And obviously it didn't happen. Actually, over that weekend, he signed in Washington. So, yeah, you know, it's not their own possibility that something happens in conjunction with that. And certainly I know a lot of people in St. Louis are looking forward to the weekend ahead in 2 weeks here. You know, the cold weather here made a little bit warmer when you look at the calendar and see how close spring training is. A lot of the players come back for winter warm-up. And for me, one of the highlights of the weekend, we host our St. Louis Baseball Writers Dinner annually, and it's actually one of only three baseball writers' dinners left in the country. There's New York, there's Boston, and there's St. Louis, and that's something that we here take a lot of pride in. So this year's dinner will highlight the 10-year anniversary of the 2006 World Series Championship Club, also honor a lot of players from the 2015 team, have a tribute for Yogi Berra, St. Louis born and raised. The DeWitt family are going to be among our recipients. They're commemorating their 100 years in Major League Baseball. So a lot on tap there. And for those interested in tickets at stlouisdbwaa.com, those are on sale now. And again, you'll see a lot of your favorite former and current Cardinal players at that event.
That's cool. That's cool. I didn't realize there were only three left anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's really dwindled, you know, and one of the points of pride for us, too, is that the money raised from this dinner goes to funding scholarships for journalism, sports journalism students, as well as an internship. So, you know, not only is it a neat event for those who love the Cardinals and want to celebrate the history of this organization, but for somebody personally who went through journalism school and was a beneficiary of some scholarships, it's a neat way to give back to the people coming behind us.
Yeah, cool. You know, baseball writers always busy, and this is the busiest time of year. This week we'll have the announcement from the Hall of Fame on this class to go in July. You look at the ballot, and there are a couple of Cardinals. Jim Edmonds jumps off the page. He had some spectacular years, but I hate to say this out loud on a Cardinals podcast. To me, not a Hall of Famer. What do you think of Edmonds' candidacy?
Yeah, he's a tough one, and you know, he's really going to be hurt by this idea that the ballot has become loaded in recent years. You know, we have a lot of questions, or a lot of writers have debated the legitimacy of the candidates who have been connected to PEB and steroid use, and because of that, again, the ballot has really become full, and I think that's going to hurt Jim Edmonds for maybe getting some consideration that maybe he's due, and I actually wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't hit that 5% threshold, which would be a shame. And as you mentioned, I think it's a tough argument to make that he's necessarily Hall of Fame worthy, but I think it would be potentially a little fairer if he were to stay on the ballot for more than 1 year to at least get a closer examination. I mean, you look at his numbers, finished just shy of 2,000 hits and 400 home runs. You know, those are somewhat benchmarks, and the fact that he didn't get there, I think, certainly hurt. Defensively, a stellar outfielder, and that would certainly boost his candidacy. I think the problem for him when it comes to what voters are looking for is that maybe he didn't have the longevity of career and of sensational years that some of these other candidates and Hall of Famers do. So while he did have a great career and while he did have a spectacular kind of peak of his career, I'm not sure if the longevity was there to make him Hall of Fame worthy. But again, I kind of wish that his case got a little more exposure, a little deeper look, but I'm afraid that might not be the case if he's not able to hit that 5% threshold to stay on the ballot for another year.
Yeah. Well, listen, always a pleasure, Jen. Good to catch up. Happy New Year. And we'll do it again next week.
Thanks again, Dave. I look forward to talking to you this year.
All right, there we go. Jen Langosch, MLB.com Extras, the St. Louis Cardinals edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.